Okay, today's daf is Kuf Beis in Yevamos. I understand yesterday you got to the bottom of Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, but let's just go back a few lines to the two daf on the bottom of Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, and we'll pick up from there. About 10 lines to the bottom, the Gemara says, Amar Rava.
Where are we?
Kuf Beis 101B, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 lines from the bottom. Okay? The Gemara says, Amar Rava, Rava said, Tzvichi Dayani Lemikva Duchta. The Dayanim for a Chalitza need to do a Kviyas Malkam. They have to establish the place where the Chalitza is going to be performed ahead of time. Dichsiv, the Pasuk says, V'al Sayi Vinto Hashara Elis Akeinim, that the Yavam should go up to the gate of the city, to the elders.
Morning, Jack.
Rashi explains, that implies Shara Malkam Mizuman, a place that was designated for this ahead of time. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that when you perform a chalitza, you have to go. The dayanim have to go to the place we're going to do the chalitza. Two opinions in Shulchan Aruch that or the day before, we do it the day before. We say a formula that we're going to be doing a chalitza in this place tomorrow. That's called a kviyas makom. A friend, a colleague of mine, told me that the best mitzvah note he ever wrote for his preschool daughter was once he had to take her with him to do this kviyas makom, which takes 2 minutes. So he wrote a note to the teacher the next morning. My daughter went to with me to perform a kviyas makom for chalitza. Chalitza is a big mitzvah. Love Abba.
So you could go any place. Chalitza could be done in this room, that
it
room.
It could be done in any room.
You need it designated in advance.
It has to be designated in advance. That's correct.
But it says Al-Shar.
So Shar is, it used to be done in the most public place in the city, in the gate of the city, which is a public place. In Europe, it sounds like the minute was to do it in the shul or in a public place. So it has to be done with a certain amount of pirsum, with a certain amount of publicity. As we'll see, some of these halachos are a function of pirsum of publicity. Rapabra of Huna Breid Rav Yeshua Abdi Uvda Bechamisha. So they performed chalitza with 5 dayanim. Kaman, according to who does this go? Rabbi Yehuda, that's like the position of Rabbi Yehuda that we encountered earlier. But Rabbi Yehuda went back in his position. He retracted that you don't need 5 dayanim for chalitza, sufficient to have 3. Lipersume milsa. So even though technically speaking you're correct that you only really need 3, but in order to publicize the matter, Rashi says, tupshatim in persume milsa, either it means that we want to publicize that this woman is a chalitza and she is therefore prohibited to marry a kohen, or to publicize the fact that she is now allowed to marry anyone else. But whatever the reason is, there's this notion of pirsum of publicizing the fact that there's a chalitza, and that publicity is enhanced by having 5 dayanim. So that's what we do when we have a chalitza. We have 3 dayanim, the main dayanim, and 2 other nosafim, 2 other additional dayanim that join the 3 dayanim.
Can the other 2 be regular guys?
The other 2, technically speaking, could be regular guys. But,
why does that 2 and not 3?
So that...
4.
So 4 would be a bezin shakel. That would be you can't have a bezin of an even number. And 3 is the in principle mikra din. All you need is 3, and so we add an additional 2 to the regular 3. Ravashi ikla lebei Rav Kahana. Ravashi came to the house of Rav Kahana. Amrle salik mar legabon lemaluye bechamisha. He said, "Please come with us to round out the roster for the 5 dayanim." Amr Rav Kahana, Hava Kaimna, Kamei Rav Yehuda. I was in front of Rav Yehuda. V'Amr Li, Tasak Lizriza Dekani. He said, "Come and bring a pile of mats of straw, Listarufe Bechamisha, to sit down on, so you can have the to join us to be one of the 5 dayanim." Amr Lo, Lama Li Chamisha. Why do you need 5? Amr Lahu, Kihechid Lefar Semil. So again, to publicize the fact that we're doing this chalitza. Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda Havakai Kamei de Rav Yehuda. He was in front of Rav Yehuda. Amar Le Sakta Lizvisa Dekani. Again, come and bring this bundle of reeds as a seat. Listarufe Bechamisha Lepersume Milfa, to join us to round out the number 5 in order to publicize the fact that we're doing a chalitza. Amar Le, not so fast. Tanina, we learned Be Yisrael. The pasuk says Vinikrashmo Be Yisrael Beis Chalutzanal. So it has to be Be Yisrael. That means bebezdin Yisrael v'lo bebezdin shel gerim. It has to be done with the bezdin of born Jews, and not a bezdin of gerim. V'ana gerana, and I am a ger. I'm a convert, and therefore I cannot participate in a bezdin for chalitza.
How do you learn that then? Based in Yisrael. He's a Yisrael already.
Right. So we'll see in a second, top of the next Amud, this restriction of a ger for chalitza. We'll see where that comes from. So we're going to get to that in a few lines. Amr Rav Yehuda, Kigon Rav Shmuel, Bar Yehuda, Mafikna, Mamona, Apume. The Gemara says, even though he was a ger, but Rosh Shmuel Bar Yehuda was such a reliable person, such a trustworthy person, that we would transfer money on the basis of his testimony. The Gemara says, would we really transfer money on the basis of his testimony? Doesn't the Torah say that in order to transfer money, in order to remove money from one party to give it to another, you have to have the testimony of two witnesses? Ella means Maran Shtar Pumi. It means that we would establish that a shtar was paid out, that if someone owed money which was represented in a document, and he testified that the loan was paid, we would rely on his testimony. Okay, now we're up to the new Gemara. Amar Rava, or Vilma Rava, Ger, Danis Chaveiro, Dvar Torah. A Ger is permitted to serve on a bezin to judge another Ger. Shenamar, Som Tasim Alacha Melech, Asher Yivchar Hashem Alakacha Bo, Mikar Vachacha Tasim Alacha Melech. So the Pasuk says in the Parshas Melech and Parshas Shoftim that you should place upon yourself a king that Hashem will choose from amongst your brothers. From amongst your brothers you should place a king. So the Gemara says, Alecha hu debi'inan mikar vachacha, that in order to place a king among, to rule over all of you, he has to be mikar vachacha, he has to be essentially a born Jew.
That's a jump.
Aval, 1 second. Aval ger, danes chaveiro ger. But a ger is allowed to judge another ger. Where does that come from? Look at Rashi. Alecha hu debi'inan mikar vachacha. Aval al ger afilu chaveiro tamikim alav. So a ger could be, could rule over another ger, but not over a born Jew. So where does this come from? The Parshas Melech. So Rashi says, tupshatim. Either dayim b'chlal melech. So a judge has certain characteristics of a king. Dixiv melech and mishpat yamid aretz. Im dom edayin lemelech shein sara klum yamid aretz. The ode, simos harbeik suvim kan. The pasuk isn't only talking about a king, it's talking about any position of sarava, any position of authority. So as Rav Soloveitchik explained once, the ger is a full Jew, he has full kedushas Yisrael, he has full sanctity, but there are certain restrictions in terms of his ability to serve in a position of authority, in a position of srara, which is based on this pasuk. So a ger can't be a king, and he can't be a dayan under certain circumstances. So the Gemara here says that a ger is allowed to be dayan another ger, but he's not allowed to be dayan a Yisrael. So machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos here, the problem is that our Gemara says a ger is not allowed to be dayan, and the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Lamed Vav, says a ger is allowed to be dayan. So how do you resolve that contradiction? So Rashi here says the resolution is the difference between dinei nefashos and dinei mamonos. If you're judging a case that could result in capital punishment, so there a ger is not allowed to be done a born Yisrael. But when it comes to commercial dealings, a ger is allowed to be done another Yisrael. There's a difference between nefashos and mamonos. And Tosfos says no, that even by dinei mamonos, a ger is not allowed to be done another Yisrael, and the only allowance is for a ger to be done a ger. There's a third position among the Bali Tosfos, Tosfos Anita and Mordechai, that if the parties accept upon themselves to submit their argument in front of a ger, so that's called kibbul layut, so there they're willingly accepting his authority, so that is permissible. Shulchan Aruch, we paskin like the position of Tosfos, that a ger is not allowed to serve as a dayan neither for nefashos nor for mamonos. And some of the Nosei Kelim quote this third opinion, that maybe if Kiblu Layu, if they accept their authority, then that would be permissible.
But what about Ben Ger?
It's okay.
Another, right, so if there's a legation between two Gerim, then a Ger could serve as a dying for that case. Right. Then the Gemara goes on, V'im Haisa Ima Yisrael Dana Filu Yisrael. That if the person we're talking about is the son of a Gioris, meaning his mother converted, but he himself was born Jewish, so then he's allowed to be done anyone, even a Yisrael. However, in Chalitza, when it comes to Chalitza, there's a further restriction. That in order for a dayan to be a dayan for Chalitza, he has to have both of his parents mi Yisrael. We'll see in a second what that means. Shenemar v'nekrashbo b'Yisrael. So it has to be a full Jewish lineage without any gerus going back one generation. According to Tosfos, if the father was born Jewish, even if the mother converted, then the kid could be a dayan for Chalitza. And Rashi says if either of the parents was born as a non-Jew, the kid could not be a dayan for Chalitza.
Well, what is the meaning of my time on Israel? She's a convert, she was always a Jew. Maybe his father was a good.
So the Gemara says that's the machlokas Rashi and Tosfos here. If the father was Jewish and the mother was a Gioris, can the kid be a dayan? So does that restrict even that case? Or is it only restricting a case where the father was not Jewish?
It's sounds counterintuitive.
Meaning?
If the father is a Yisrael and the mother was a Ger, then he could be, according to one man, he could be considered that he could judge Yisrael.
Right.
But he's, the kid has to convert.
No, the mother already converted. We're talking about... Right. No, we're talking about the kid was born Jewish. No, we're talking about the case of the kid was born Jewish.
But we hold matrilinear in terms of...
Right, so here the kid was definitely born Jewish. The question is about this restriction, since all other matters aside from actual Yahadut depends on the father. Kahuna goes through the father, things like that go through the father. So as far as this detail in Hilchos Dayanus, the father, according to Tosfos, is the more significant.
Women, because women cannot be Dayan.
That's the critical point.
In my time, mom is say if his mother was a convert, Misael means she was a born Jew.
Right, so that's what we're saying. But according to Rashi, according to Tosfos, Yisrael is only really referring to his generation, and then whether the father is born Jewish. Okay. Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Kahana, Amar Rav. Im Yavo Eliyahu v'yomar cholsen b'minal shomin lo. So we saw in the Mishnah on Kuf Aleph Amar Aleph that cholsa b'minal chalisa sakshera. So we'll see there's something called a minal, something called a sandal. I would not translate it as sandal versus shoe. That's not an accurate translation. These are two different kinds of shoes that exist in the time of Chazal. We're not exactly sure what a sandal is. Rashi tells us that one critical difference between a minhal and a sandal is a minhal is made out of hard leather, and a sandal is made out of soft leather. A minhal is made out of soft leather, and a sandal is made out of hard leather.
And there's a question about the back.
Right, okay, so we're going to get there.
Open and stuff like
good.
That.
Yeah. So
sandal was flip-flops.
So Amar Rav, Amar Rav Kahana, Amar Rav... Im Yavo Eliyahu v'yomar cholsen b'minal shomer lo. If Eliyahu Navi would come and tell us that we're allowed to, or we should use a minal for chalitza, then we would listen to him, even though without Eliyahu Navi we would not be using a minal, we'd be using a sandal. But if he would tell us ein cholsen b'sandal, if he would come and say do not use a sandal for chalitza, ein shomer lo, we would not be allowed to listen to even Eliyahu Navi. Shekvar Nogu am b'sandal, because there's already a strong minag to use a sandal, and Eliyahu Navi can't come around and be mevatel an established minag. Okay, now the Gemara has a second version of the statement. Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Kahana, Amar Rav, Im Yavo Eliyahu v'yomer ein cholsen b'minal shomer lo. If Eliyahu Navi come and say that you are not allowed to use a minhal for chalitza, then we would listen to him because we don't have a strong minhag to use a minhal. However, if he would say ein cholsa b'sandal, ein shomer lo. But if he would say you're not allowed to use a sandal, we would not listen to him again. Shekvar nagu am b'sandal, because we already have an established custom to use a sandal. So the difference between the two statements is only in the first part. According to the first version, if he comes and says, use a minhal, we'll listen to him. According to the second version, if he comes and says, don't use a minhal, we'll listen to him. So Gemara says, Mai Benai, what's the nafka mina between these two versions of the statement of Rabba on Rav Kahana, Amarav, of Rav Kahana Amarav? Ika Benayu, minhal l'chachila. The nafka mina is, are you allowed to use a minhal l'chachila? So according to the first version, you're not allowed to use a minhal l'chachila, but if Eliyahu Navi would come and tell you use it anyway, then we could. And according to the second version, you are allowed to use a minhal even l'chachila. So now the Gemara is going to explain why, what's this machlokas as to whether you can use a minhal l'chachila or not. We definitely know you can use a sandal. Minha Torah, on a deraisa level, there's no difference between a minhal and a sandal. So why on a derabana level would we have a preference for using a sandal over a minhal? So the Gemara asks, Ulamanda Amar Afilu L'chachila, according to that opinion that you're allowed to use a minhal even L'chachila, Vatanan, what about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says, Chalitza b'minhal, Chalitza sekashera, that if you do Chalitza with a minhal, the Chalitza is kasher. So that Lashon is mashmid di evid in L'chachila lo. That's only post facto. If you use the minhal, it's kasher. But L'chachila, you're not supposed to use a minhal. The Gemara says, no, hu adin afilu l'chachila. No, that, don't be medayik that way in the Mishnah. Even according to our Mishnah, you could even use a min'al l'chachila. V'aydi debayi l'misni seifa b'anpalya chalitza sapsula. But because the next line of the Mishnah says that if you use an apalya, a sock, a slipper, something made out of just material, so there the chalitza is pasul, it's not good even post facto. Da'afilu di'eved, even if you already did it, you have to redo it. Tananami resha di'eved, So therefore, the Reisha also uses a lashon of the Eved just to be consistent, but according to this opinion, you could even use a minal lechachila. The Gemara says, a minal lechachila tanai. That question as to whether you can use a minal lechachila is really a machlokes tanai, de Tanya. Amr of Yossi, Pam Achas Alachti Lenitzivan. I once went to the town of Nitzivan, which we know to be the hometown of Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira. Masasi Zakin Achad, I found a certain elderly person, Amartilo. I said to him, Klamata Baki Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, are you familiar with the practices of Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira? Amr Lihain, yep. V'al Shalchani Hu Tadir Klum. And he would hang out at my table. And he would hang out at my table, he would spend time at my table, or Tosis quotes in Nishami that he was a moneylender, so he would do business. This person was a moneylender, so Yehuda ben Maseira would exchange his money with this elderly person. So now he asked him, Klum Ra'isa Shachalat Bivami, did you ever see if Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira did a chalitza? Did he ever supervise, officiate at a chalitza? Amar li Ra'isi Shachalat Sarbi Pamim, I actually saw him do chalitza many times. Then he asked him, "Bin minal of a sandal." So, what did he use? Did he use a minal or a sandal? Amar li, v'chi cholsim bin minal. He said, "Rabbi, what are you talking about? Obviously, you can't use a minal. What's the question?" Amarti lo, imkain. So, I said to him, "If that's the case, that you can't use a minal at all, even b'di'evet, ma ra remeir lomer cholsim bin minal chalitzasak shera." So then, why did remeir say that if you do chalitza the minal, it's good? Okay. Rabbi Yaakov Omer Mishmo Cholsim Mimina L'Chachila. Rabbi Yaakov says in the name of Remeir that you can do Chalitza with a Minah even L'Chachila. So that's two versions of Remeir as to whether you can do Chalitza with a Minah L'Chachila or not. So now we're asking the question, so what's this all about? L'manda Omer L'Chachila Lo my time. So according to the opinion that you're not allowed to use a Minah L'Chachila, why not? So Ilemi Mishim Dehavia Pansa Me'al. So the pasuk says that the chalitza has to be me'al from above the foot. So if you're going to tell me the problem is that if you have a minal, the minal has an upper layer of the shoe above the foot. I mean, it's not open on the top. So if the problem is going to be the following, that a minal is supposed to sandal has a layer of leather on top of the foot. So if you were to remove the shoe, so the pansa, the layer on top, is considered me'al, that's above the foot, the arkasa, and then the straps that are on top of the top layer, that would be me'al de me'al, that would be above, v'atara amra me'al v'lo me'al de me'al. So when you remove the shoe, it has to be a single act, you're just removing, so to speak, one layer, and here, if you have a layer on top of the foot, and then you have straps above that, so those would be two layers that you're removing when you're removing the shoe. So ihachi, if that's the problem, then afilu di'evin amilo. So then you wouldn't even be able to be yotze with a minal b'di'evin post facto. Zera mishum minal marufa. Period. So Ella, the Gemara says, what's the reason that you can't lechachila use a minal? Zera mishum minal marufa. The concern is that you may have a torn minal. So because a minnow is made out of softer leather, even if it's torn a little bit, it's still usable as a shoe. So we're concerned that you may have a minnow which is torn, which would still be fit on his foot, but would not be appropriate for a chalitza. Inami mishem chatzi minnow, or along the same lines, we're worried that maybe you would have a shoe that's cut in half, and that would not be valid for a chalitza. So because the material used to make a minnow is a lot flimsier, it's softer leather, so we're concerned that there may be something that happens. If it's sandal with hard leather, nothing could happen to it. If it's soft leather, something may happen to it that would rip it up and invalidate the shoe for use as chalitza. So that's why lechachila, you shouldn't use a minnow, but if you used it, as long as it wasn't actually torn, it would be kosher.
Is that the shoe can be reused afterwards for regular shoe, or that once you do chalitza?
No, so technically speaking, you could use a... One second. You could use a shoe for anything. I mean, nowadays we have specialized chalitza shoes that we don't use for anything, because people would look at you funny if you're wearing it in the street anyway. I'm sorry?
You can use it more than once.
You can use it more than once. Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's it.
Good.
Do you have to give it to him?
So he has to own it. L'chachila, he has to make a kinyan. Correct. Good. So Amar Rav, Ilav de chamise l'chavivi de chalas besandal de islay shinsen. Had I not seen my dear one on the side, the Nimuke Agriv says this is Reb Chia, who was his uncle. So had I not seen my uncle Reb Chia do chalitza with a sandal d'isbe shinsen that has straps, then I would have used a sandal which is used by the merchants or by the shepherds, a certain kind of a sandal which is very tight, because the sandal has to be tightly fit onto the foot, the chalitza has to be tightly fit onto the foot in order to make a proper chalitza. To remove this has to be tight, and you're removing something which is tight. The haididan in our shoe that we use, afal gav de isbe chumrasa, even though our chalitza shoe has straps, katrin and be misna, we also tie, or we also use clasps, kehechid etavi chalitza samaliyasa, to make sure that it is a proper chalitza, that it is well adhered, well tied on the foot, that you can do a proper chalitza to remove it properly. So that's our minug, that the chalitza shoe that we use, technically speaking, is a minal and not a sandal, because as Rishon already say, we don't really know what a sandal is, we don't have it anymore, but we use a minal of hard leather as opposed to soft leather, so we try to accommodate whatever the Gemara says in terms of structuring the shoe. So we have both clasps, and we have ritzuas, and we have straps.
Here it says straps, but I thought we learned that you can't have the straps on top of the shoe.
Oh, so the Gemara says that's not the issue. That was a havamina. Maybe you'll tell me the problem with the minal is that if you have the top and then the straps, that would be a violation of me'al de me'al. The Gemara says that's not true. That's not a violation of me'al de me'al. There's no problem of having multiple layers on the shoe. The Gemara rejected that as a concern. So, I'm sorry? That's correct. So, actually, okay, let's go a little bit further, and then we'll show you the shoe. Simon.
She does, or?
I'm sorry?
She has to untie the shoe and pull it off.
Yeah, okay. So Simon Hataras Yivama sandal. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav Hataras Yivama Lashuk Bishmitas Rova Eikav. When you are matter Yivama Lashuk through Chalitza, you have to remove the majority of the heel from the shoe. Meisive Gemara has a question. Hutru Ritzuas Minal the sandal. So we have a Tosefta that says that if the straps of the minal and sandal were loosened, O Shashamet Rov HaRegel, or most of the foot was taken out of the shoe, chalitza sapsula, then that's not a good chalitza. The Gemara says, "Taima deshamad hu." So there, the problem is that the Yavam himself was the one who removed the shoe, so that's no good. Ha shamtahi. But if the Yavam removed the shoe, chalitza sakshera, then that's a good chalitza. The Gemara says, "Rov haragel in, rov haekav lo." So that price, it sounds like as long as the majority of the foot is removed from the shoe, that's okay. You don't need the majority of the ankle. Of the heel. The Gemara says, "Lo hainu rov haragel, hainu rov haekav." No, that's all synonymous. When that Tosefta says most of the foot, it means most of the heel. The Amai karle rov haragel. Why do we refer to the heel as the foot? The kula chayla the kara ale dachis. That the whole pressure, when you put pressure on your foot, you're putting it through the heel. The misayeh lele rabbiani, that supports rabbiani. Dam rabbiani bein shehiter hu v'sham tahi bein shehiter hi v'sham atu chalitzas v'sula. That whether he's the one who unties the straps and she removes the shoe, or if he removes the shoe and she unties the strap, either way it's puzzle. Ash tatzer hi v'tashmet hi. She must be the one that does both the removal of the shoe and the untying of the straps. Okay.
The entire shoe.
Right.
You don't say like mitzvah the kulo.
Well, so we said rov haregel, that as long as it's the majority of the foot that comes out, but she has to remove the shoe, she has to be the only one to remove the shoe from at least the majority of the foot.
Majority.
Right. Or the majority of the ankle. Okay, Bayi Rabbiani. Rabbiani asks the following question. Kar asu mahu. What happens if you don't remove the shoe, you just rip up the shoe? You rip into shreds. Or a sarfaso mahu. Let's say you burn it. You don't remove it. You take some kind of some chemical and you you apply the chemical to the shoe. And the shoe disintegrates. So is that a valid chalitza? Does the Dewey say? What's the critical point over here? Is it giluye karabin an vaika? So do you just need to expose good the foot, and you expose the foot because you ripped up the shoe or it disintegrated, Odilma chalitza bein, or do you actually need the act of removing the shoe from the foot? Velaka. And then you're not doing that act. If it disintegrates with some chemical reaction, then you haven't done an act of removal. Take the Gemara doesn't resolve the question. What's the din if a person is wearing two shoes, one on top of the other? Okay. What's the case? So let's say you remove the top one.
Billy, you wear rubbers.
So let's say you remove the top one and the bottom one is still there. Me'al amar rachmana, velo me'al de me'al. So that would be a violation of me'al, because you remove the top one, but the bottom one is still there. So you haven't removed the shoe from above the foot. So the question is, let's say you made a hole in the upper shoe, and then you remove the lower shoe through the hole in the upper shoe. The kailai in the upper shoe is still there. So again, same question. Do we say you need the act of removing the shoe and you've removed the shoe? Or maybe you need to expose the foot and you haven't done that. Okay. So maybe this would be a good time to take a break for a minute and show you the chalitza shoe that we use in our Beis Din. This was, as far as I know, fashioned in Europe before the war.
That's a sandal.
That's what I said before, that you shouldn't confuse
the word sandal.
Our word sandal with sandal, because a sandal in the Gemara seems to be totally exposed on the top. And this is not. You'll see in a second.
Aaron, you can put it on.
Okay, so this is made all out of.
It's like a booty.
Okay, this is made all out of leather.
Yeah.
My mother-in-law used to have shoes like that.
Okay, it's in theory one size fits all.
These are Air Zilbermans.
So, and you'll see over here.
Where did you get this?
Jared, can you see that?
So, this came
from. Handed down.
This was.
All feet can fit into that?
We haven't had a case of someone that didn't fit into it, although it's theoretically. It's theoretically possible. Rabbi Charlap has a story that he tells about his grandfather, who was involved in a chalitza many years ago. I don't know. The 50s, 60s, how far this goes back, in the Bronx, of a totally secular New York City policeman who was a big, heavyset person, who was very reluctant to participate in the chalitza. They finally convinced him that he could do it. They showed up to do the chalitza. He fit, but he broke the shoe. And then they had to find another shoe and reschedule. But anyway, so what you see over here is, as we indicated, is that you have the ritzuos, you have the straps, and you also have these clasps. Which are clasped together like this. So there are, it's leather. So you have three clasps, and then you have this ritzua. So we do both the clasps and the ritzua. The way we put it on is that we first button the clasps from bottom to top, and then we wrap the ritzua around between the clasps, and then on the top we make a kesher knot, and then an aniva bow on top of the knot. So between the fact that the shoe has this top, and the fact that we have the clasps and the ritzuas, it is. These are the ritzuos. These are the straps. It's wrapped around.
Jared, you there?
Is it the right leg or the left leg?
So for a righty, it's on the. Yeah.
You see this? Jared.
That's 4 days of you showing him, either right, left, none, or both. But that's too complicated for now. I'm sorry, what do? We avoid the problem. We don't have... Baruch Hashem, we've never had a situation of a person who... A left-footed chalitza, that would be a major problem.
You mean if he only
right
has the left foot?
No. If he kicks right, when you go right...
You do it by... Oh, by the way...
It has to, right, so
does
it have
to
be...
Does have to wear a sock or no sock?
No sock, no. No sock at all.
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry? So, no chalitza, right.
So if you don't have these, no good.
The Eved, it would probably still be good, but this is a lechachila, meaning the lechachila, you'd have to figure out what could be the Eved. It could be the Eved, it's good even without it, but lechachila, we have both the clasps.
St. Michael's
By the way, you should show this to Eddie tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, is there any reason you can't go to a shoemaker and have a shoe like this
There's
made?
No reason.
I mean,
you could, but
Danny, you should sponsor a Khalid
shoe.
Does it
have to be only leather?
You could maybe put your name on it. I'll go have these with this.
We'll get to that if we have time on other days.
Jared, don't you think your father should sponsor a less footed Khalid shoe?
Quality leather.
No comment.
Okay, after every chalitza, we say a tefillah that this should never happen again. We should never need to do a chalitza.
How often have you done this, by the way?
We average about one a year. Sometimes we'll go a few years without any. Sometimes we'll have three in a year. But
how many people who should do chalitza?
That
say?
I can't tell you.
I mean, is it common that
Bezit of America? It's Bezit of America.
Borough Park or
no?
Do you want to put this?
No.
Okay.
Do we ask him that you don't need Diana, but you can do it with three?
With Hediotos?
People who know how to say the brachas.
Well, to read the word. So in principle, that's correct. But as a lechachila matter, meaning if you were stuck on a desert island with only three Hediotos, it would be kosher.
Has this shoe been handed down?
So this shoe, as far as I know, was constructed in Europe before the war. We've had it at our Beis Din since its inception, post-war. I don't know exactly how old it is, but it's
at least 70 years old.
More, I think, yes.
And you were a sock,
you know? No chatzitza. Barefoot, no chatzitza. You have to make sure the foot is totally clean.
It says left-handed. Does that mean if you're
left-footed.
But left-footed means if you're a left-handed person. Left-footed.
Not always. No, meaning some people write.
But I'm right-handed.
How do you know you're left-footed?
Because I kick a football.
Right. Yes, we.
Oh,
we
is
ask,
that the way it works?
Yeah.
Your
kicking preference.
What's the word I'm looking for, Arthur?
We'll ask the Yabam.
We'll
ask the Yabam to kick. To show us how you kick.
No. But what do you call that? The you're righty. The right side is dominant. The dominant.
So what's this whole process? Is there more to it?
Well, we're not done with the parak. We have a way to go.
Because it's a weird procedure.
It is a Torah prescribed procedure.
That may
look curious to the uninitiated. Okay, so let's try to cover a little bit more ground. Kuf Beis Amid Beis. Okay, so Gemara asks. Sorry. Umi ika ki agavna. Is there such a thing as wearing two shoes? Meaning, in order for the chalitza, so we have just asked a question. We yet unresolved. Can you do a chalitza if you have two shoes? So, in order for the chalitza to be valid, you have to be wearing a shoe in a normal fashion. So, is there ever a normal fashion of wearing two shoes?
If you don't have that shoe,
yeah,
and you just have a regular shoe, does that mean you're no good?
If you just have a
regular, tie-up shoe,
but you have a shoe that has a heel that supports the ankle.
Yeah, is that good?
A
regular,
it
has to go up above the ankle, right? So it's got to be a boot, basically.
Well, so that's what this essentially is.
No, but I'm saying if you don't have that, so you need.
If you don't have that, no, you need a special. Well,
you can't just use.
You can't use your regular shoe. There are a lot of specifications. There are a lot of specifications for the. So, b'di'evud, we require a careful analysis of what you have, what you don't have, but we never.
Chuck Taylor, high top.
As a practical matter, but they did have chalitza shoes, so if there's ever need for chalitza, we have the shoe. Okay, so umi kaki agamna, is there such a thing as wearing two shoes in? The Chaziu Rabbanu LeRavi Yehuda, the Rabbanu saw Ravi Yehuda, the Nafik Becham Shizuzi, Moki LeShuka, that he would go out with these five pairs of some kind of a shoe into the marketplace. Amr Vila Marav, Yavama Shigdila Beina Achin, Muteresi Nasi Lechem and Achin. So let's say you have the Yavama who grew up. The deceased brother passed away at a young age, or at a time when the Yavama was young. So she grew up in the same neighborhood, or together with the other brothers, and they hadn't yet performed Yibam or Chalitza. So Yavama Shigdila Beina Achin, Muteresi Nasi Lechem and Achin. She's allowed to marry one of the brothers. V'ein choshishin shema chalza sanda le'echane. We're not concerned that maybe at one point she removed someone's shoe, and maybe that would have constituted a proper chalitza. So time of the lo chazinan. So that's only if we didn't see that she actually removed the shoe. Ha chazina chazina. But that implies that if we would actually have noticed that she wants to cross someone's shoe, so maybe we'd be choshesh that that was a valid chalitza. Vatanya, don't we have a brisa? It's a sefta that says, Benchin is kavin hu velon is kavnehi. Benchin is kavnehi velon is kavin hu. Whether or not, in either case, either where, he has kavana for chalitza and she does not, or she has kavana for chalitza and he does not, chalitza sapsula, that's an invalid chalitza, as she is kavnehi shneim kachet. You require the positive intent of both parties, the yavama and the yabam, that you're doing this for the mitzvah of chalitza.
Yeah, but why would that be even a question? If it's not in a position to do it, why would it even count?
No, so maybe...
Halita is only if she's a Yavama. But
no, so she's a Yavama. Shemer is Yavama. We're talking about a Yavama who hadn't yet done formal Halitza, but she was hanging out with the brothers, so maybe we should be concerned that once she took one of the brothers' shoes off. So the diuk is, so that sounds like, so you only need, it only works if there's kavana.
We need 5-8, we have 5-8 in.
So that might not be bidiyavid, it might be good without the dayanim. Maybe. So, hachi kamar, no, this is what we mean. Afagav the chazinan, even if we saw her take the shoe off, ein choshen shema kivnu. We're not concerned that maybe they had kavana from Mrs. Chalitza. That's too far fetched. Vigadami, and some say, taima de lo chazina. No, it's only if we never saw her remove a shoe. Ha chazina, but if we saw her remove a shoe, choshishin. Namri choshish, then maybe they had kavana for chalitza. Ay, the katana bai kavana. And when we say that you require kavana, hani milu ishtari la alma. You require kavana in order to allow this woman, the chalutza, the yavama, and then the chalutza, to marry someone else, because until you do chalitza, there's a zika, she has a connection to the brothers. She's not allowed to marry anyone else. But in this situation where she was nisgadol ben achin, or this situation where there is a chalitza, even without kavana, she would still be possible to the brothers. Amrav Yudah Merav, sandal atafer bepishtan ein cholsimba. If you have a sandal which is sewn with the flax, with pishtan, ein cholsimba. You're not allowed to do chalitza with that sandal because you require the entire sandal to be made out of leather. So the pasuk there in Yecheskel connects the term nal to tachash, to leather. So maybe you need daka tachash. Tachash is a specific type of leather, so maybe that's the only thing that's kosher for chalitza. No, na'al na'al riba. So then you have the in the parsha of chalitza, the Torah uses the term na'al twice. So the extra term na'al comes to add something above tachash. So ina al na'al riba. So if you have the extra term to add something, afilu kol mili nami. So maybe you can use any material. Same kain tachash mayahani le. So why do you need tachash? So there's a middle ground. Tachash tells you it has to be some kind of leather, but doesn't have to be exclusively tachash. And na'al na'al tells you that it could be some other kind of leather, but it can't be any other material. Okay. Bamine Rabbi Elazar Mirav, Rabbi Elazar Mirav, who shall or vitri sosav shall sar? What happens if the shoe itself is made out of leather, but the straps are made out of hair, or some other material, made out of the feathers of the wool of an animal? So Amar Le Milo Queen and Bev Analeich Tachash. So isn't that included in Vanalech Tachash? Ihachi kula shel sarnami. So then if that's the case, then maybe you could make the entire shoe out of some other material. No, hu karka mikri. If you make it all out of sar, all out of the feathers or the wool, so that's called karka. That's not called a, that's not a milan, it's not a sandal, it's a different kind of an entity, which would not be kasher v'chalitza. Amalei Rav Kana Lishmuel Mimai Dahai V'Chalza Na'alo Mi'al Raglo Mishlafu. So now we're getting to the fundamental question. The pasuk says you have to do chalitza v'chalza. So what does the word mean, v'chalza? So till now we've been assuming v'chalza means you remove the shoe. So now the Gemara is going to challenge that assumption. So how do you know that v'chalza means mishlaf, to remove the shoe? The pasuk says v'chalzu es havanim asher behena naga. In the parsha of Saras Batim, if you have a house that has saras, so you have to remove the stones from that house. So there the pasuk uses the term v'chalsu, the same verb form. So that you see from there that the verb form chalots means to remove. The Gemara says not so fast. V'ema zeruzihu, but maybe that it means not to remove, but to increase, to add, to put onto. Dechsev, because they have another pasuk, hey chalsu meitchem anashim letzava. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, or the pasuk says, that you should engage soldiers for the army. So there, hechasu means that you should enlist them, not that you should remove, but you should put in, you should enlist the soldiers to the army. And where it says, no, hasanami shilufi mi beis lakarva. No, the pasuk, hechasu doesn't mean enlist, it means remove them from their homes into the army. So same meaning. That an ani should be, again, the same verb form, in his poverty. So the Gemara says, oh, maybe that means that he should be encouraged because of his property. You should give him strength because of his poverty. You should give him strength to overcome his poverty. So not to remove, but to strengthen. So no, that bischar anyo yechalsu midina shalgerem. No, that also means that as a reward for the poverty that he went through, he will be removed from the din of Gehenna. So again, we've so far been able to interpret every term of chalots as removal. Elahadich says, the pasuk says in Tilim, chonem alach Hashem saviv liri'a vayichalotzeim, that Hashem, the Malach Hashem, encamps around those who fear Hashem, vayichalotzeim. So again, what does that mean? That he removes something, or that he adds something, or encourages something? So there, bischar yireav, so we thought maybe that means that he does something positive to them. So no, bischar yireav, in the as a reward for those who fear Hashem, again, yachalotzeim yidin shekol hanim, he will remove them from the din of Gehenna.
Free them.
That your bones will be, sounds like, strengthened. This is the most exalted of the brachas, that you should strengthen someone's bones. So it means that you should, that we strengthen his bones. So there's no way of reinterpreting the pasuk to that chalitza should mean removal. The Gemara says, in, mashmachi, mashmachi. Now it's true that sometimes chalitza is mashma removal, and sometimes it's mashma strengthening. Dehacha isaka daitach ruzihu, imkein lichta rachmana vichalitza na'alo biraglo. No, but in our context, it must mean that chalitza means to remove, because if it would mean to strengthen, or to put on, then the pasuk should have said that you should put on a shoe on his foot. Biraglo. Me'al raglo, from, sounds like you're removing. So, ikas rechmana biraglo. No, maybe if it would have said on the foot, havamina biraglo in bishokalo, maybe I would have said that's to the exclusion of another part of the body, exclusion of the thigh. So, kasav rechmana me'al raglo. So the pasuk says me'al raglo da filu bishoko. Even on the upper part of the above the foot, im kein lifta rechmana bimei al raglo. So then it could have just said bimei al raglo, my mei al raglo shmamina mishafu. So it must mean that chalitza is to remove the shoe. Okay, amalei humina le Rebbe Gamliel. A certain heretic said to Gamliel, amad the chalitza mari mine, that we are a nation that Hashem removed something from us. That sounds like, so he interpreted the pasuk as Hashem is taking something away from us. So he thought, that means that Hashem just abandoned the Jews. It doesn't say abandoned him, it says chalatz mayim, he took something from them. Okay. Meaning, if a yavama would be the one to perform, if someone would perform the chalitza instead of the yavama, would that have any bearing? Obviously not. So it's not pshat that Kadosh Baruch Hu has abandoned the Jews. Okay, let's read a few more lines. If you use some kind of a foot covering, a sock, a slipper, which is only made out of material, does that mean to say that Anpali is not considered a minol? So it says that the person who would remove the dashen, the Trumas HaDashen, the Beis HaMikdash, would come to remove the ashes. So he's not allowed to walk into the Beis HaMikdash. They were talking about the removing the Mishneh Shkalim, removing the communal funds from the Pushkas in the Beis HaMikdash. So the person who would go in to do that, Ein Atarim Nichnas Lo B'Pargut Chafetz, he's not allowed to go in with a shirt that has pockets, because we're concerned no one should suspect that he pocketed any money for himself. The Lo B'Anpalya, he's not allowed to come in with an apalya, a slipper. Vein Sarach Lomber B'Min Al V'Sandal, and obviously you're not allowed to come in with the Min Al V'Sandal. Lefish Ein Nichnas B'Min Al V'Sandal Azara, you're not allowed to ever walk into the Azara wearing shoes. And you're not even allowed, in this case, to wear a sock, a slipper, because you're concerned maybe someone would be choshesh that he stuck some money into the slipper. Okay. Urminu echad min of a sandal v'anpalya lo yitayil behem. So in Hilchas Yom Kippur it says that you're not allowed to walk with a min of sandal or anpalya. Lo mi bayis abayis lo mi mita lemita. You're not allowed to walk anywhere on Yom Kippur wearing even an anpalya. So that brisa sounds like an apalya is like a minnow. Amar Abaye de isbe kisisi umishem tanu. No, the concern over there in the Yom Kippur case is that there were little pieces of material that are in this anpalya, little pieces of leather, and then even though it's not a leather shoe, but it's not a fulfillment of inoy, if you're wearing such a shoe, so that then you're not properly afflicting yourself with the inoy of not wearing leather shoes on, or wearing shoes on Yom Kippur. Armalei Rava Mishim Tana B'Lom Minol B'Yom Kippur Me'Yasiri. Why is that a problem? So, okay, so let's say it's pleasurable to wear the shoe, but the din is you're not allowed to wear a minol. It doesn't say you're not allowed to wear anything on your foot that's pleasurable. V'Rava V'Rav Huna Karech Sidra Akare V'Nafik, because after all, Rav Huna would wrap a cloth around his foot and walk outside in Yom Kippur. So even though he was protecting his foot, he was increasing his comfort, but that's not a violation of the Isser of Ni'ilas HaSandal on Yom Kippur. Now, there's a difference between an apaya made out of leather and an apaya made out of material. If it's made out of leather, so that you're not allowed to wear Yom Kippur. If it's made out of material, you are.
Hanami Mistabra.
No. So a leather apaya. Ah. So the Mishnah still. So the Mishnah seems to exclude apaya, even if it's made out of leather. Just one second. It is not right. Hachanami mistabra dilo temahachi. So that distinction between leather and material must be true. Dilo temahachi kashi Yom Kippur Yom Kippur, because otherwise there's a steer about Yom Kippur. Detanya lo yitayil adam bekor dekisim b'soch beis. So it says that you're not allowed to wear these kind of thin shoes on Yom Kippur. Val matayil hu ba'anpilim b'soch beis, but you can wear an apaya. So it must be that in the context of Yom Kippur, there's a distinction between an apaya made out of ore and an apaya made out of material.
On behalf of our group, I want to thank you for this.